So years ago, many, many years ago, back when I used size 10 font, we were at a young married's retreat up at Cathedral of the Pines camp, and Pastor Callan was leading us in a Bible study in the Holiday Lodge on the shores of Lake Caribou. You can just picture it. So we're all sitting around, and all of a sudden, Pastor Callan asks us young women to stand up, to turn to our husbands, and give them the look. And without even asking what he meant, because of course we all knew exactly what they meant, as did they, we all instantly jump up and turn to them with some sort of furrowed brow, and then the whole room erupted in laughter. It seems that even at that very young age, we had learned to communicate our frustrations sans words. I once gave my husband the silent treatment for 3 days, 72 hours. It was so impressive. And when the poor guy finally turned to me and said, "Did I do something wrong?" 72 hours of me not talking. I couldn't even remember what the original problem was. I just remembered that I was mad about something, and I was sure it must have been his fault. Hopefully, nearly 40 years later, I've gotten a wee bit better at communicating. As we tell our young kids, use your words. Have you ever held a grudge? Maybe even gotten so angry with someone that it caused a divide in your family or your friend group? Or maybe it was others in your close-knit friend group that had the divide, and all of a sudden you were suddenly expected to take sides. Hurt can become the silent treatment which inches toward anger and resentment that can billow into great big cavernous divides that threaten families and neighborhoods and lifelong friendships. When we hear the story of the prodigal son, it never ceases to amaze me that these words spoken by Jesus 2,000 years ago are every bit as relevant today as they were then. In the familiar story, a father has two sons. The older one, the firstborn, is responsible, hardworking, doing everything that the father asks him. The younger brother decides he wants to go and explore the world. So sounding a bit like the blueberry girl in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, "But I want it now," he asks his father to give him half of everything that will be his someday in the future. So he takes his father's money and he hits the road. And when he's spent all that he had, and he's left destitute and pining for the life that he had back home, he even wishes he could be one of his father's servants because he knows at least he would be fed. He finally summons the courage to ask for forgiveness. And what happens when he gets home is where our lesson in finding peace begins. Imagine this. A father who hasn't seen his son in years looks up and sees him in a far-off distance walking towards him. And as any parent knows, we know their gait, we know their walk, we know their smell, we know their breath. The father sees him and is filled with compassion. He runs to him, he throws around him, he kisses him. And as his son is begging for forgiveness, the father is so overjoyed to have him home that he calls for a clean robe and sandals and beef to be roasted for dinner. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found." The older, hardworking brother is angry. So angry he refuses to even go see his younger brother. The silent treatment begins. "Seriously, Dad, I've been working and slaving away all these years, and you throw him, that son of yours, Not my brother, that son of yours. A party? His grudge, his anger, his jealousy has so blinded him to the fact that he's missing the very obvious peace and comfort that surrounds him. But son, the father says, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But we celebrate today because your brother was lost and now he is found. Forgiving is one of the most difficult things that God asks us to do, perhaps even the most difficult thing. For some reason, we think that if we forgive, we're giving the okay to hurt us again while we're still stuck in the pain. Forgiving feels like letting go of control. Forgiving makes us vulnerable. It makes our justice buttons ping, but what he did was wrong. At least that's what our human minds tell us. The reality, however, is so much different. In our unwillingness to let go, we only harm ourselves. Forgiving gives us our power back. Forgiving gets rid of the great big fat elephant in the room and makes room for light and for love and for laughter. If we can gather the guts to forgive, it brings us the peace we all so desperately long for. From the prophet Isaiah, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill be brought low. The crooked places made straight and the rough places smooth. From the Gospel of Mark, whenever you pray, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. From the Gospel of Luke, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Hating someone, harboring resentment, robs us of time and energy. Sitting in judgment and keeping tallies of how we have been wronged is a waste of this one beautiful life that God has given us. It's so short. Colossians 3, bear with one another. And if anyone has complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as Christ has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And here's the catch. Did you notice that Jesus did not finish the story? He never does tell us if the brother stayed outside alone in the cold, stewing in his anger, or if his heart softened and he went in to join his family. I wonder if he didn't leave it like this on purpose, so that our Heavenly Father would know whether we summoned the courage to forgive or we didn't. That our Heavenly Father would love us either way. And it begs this question. If you were the older brother, what would you do? Would you stay out in the cold, giving the look and the silent treatment? Or would you summon Jesus' courage to forgive in order to find the peace that we all so desperately seek? One of those paths may warm our hearts enough to look around and hear the Father's words anew. Son, daughter, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. And then if a very wise pastor tells you to give the look to your partner or your friend or your family member, maybe, just maybe, it'll be the look of love. Amen.